Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Philosophically, I want everyone to come to Orchard Park. I want people to have to play in that environment. I think it's, I've been there fortunate enough to a couple times to play and certainly to call a couple games. I think it's a difference maker. I think that place, the weather, the fans, the juice, the environment, you know, everyone raves about the 12th man in Seattle. I think it has that type of feel and vibe. So I think that there's big goals, obviously, and I would want the AFC to have to go through Orchard Park if I were the Bills.
There is Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, also UConn's finest. He's like the only UConn football player I can think of, talking about hoping and wanting to see the AFC having to go through Orchard Park and Buffalo. Would be a lot of fun. We'll get a little bit of taste of winter in Buffalo potentially this weekend as a bit of a winter storm's coming in for Bills 49ers. But for more on the Bills, finally, I have been bereft of any Bills news on the West Her Hotline after his much-deserved vacation. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how are we doing this morning?
Pretty good, guys. Ready to rock and roll and the first day of practice here, and it's Thanksgiving week, so happy Thanksgiving to you, your family, all the listeners out there, obviously. But we'll obviously hear from Sean McDermott in about an hour and a half from now. It is a normal Wednesday for the Bills today.
To you as well, Sal. Good vacation, though. How was the weather in the Bay Area?
Terrible. It was absolutely terrible. We get there on Thursday, and we had heard the rumblings of it, what's called a bomb cyclone. Unfortunately, it was crazy weather.
What?
terminology hitting the West Coast, and sure enough, we got there, and literally all day Thursday night, all day Friday, all night Friday night, it was terrible, like rain, just monsoon. It was record-breaking, like flooding. The airport, like trying to get out, they were redirecting traffic because of the flooding on the highways. It was terrible. We had tickets to Alcatraz on Thursday night. My brother was coming up from Oregon, and he couldn't get in on his flight because it was delayed. But luckily, the way it works, basically, you go and you check in, and there's like a ferry that takes you there. And we went on Friday and said, hey, we can't make it tonight. And they said, that's fine. Just bring your tickets tomorrow. We did the day tour instead, which was great on Saturday. By the time that happened, it was still a little rainy, but the rain had subsided. It wasn't the warmest. It was probably about 55 degrees. And then by the time we got to Sunday, it was much drier. Went to down to Napa. Obviously went to the Sabres game on Saturday down in San Jose, and pretty awesome. Got the win there. That was really cool.
What's that arena like there, Sal? Because I have it on my bucket list to get to every NHL arena, and San Jose is probably one of the farthest I'll have to go. So what was it like, the atmosphere?
The arena is kind of, I would say, similar to KeyBank Center, especially the scoreboard is exactly the same. I wonder if the same company built it. I haven't researched or anything, but literally, like, it's got the exact same shape with that little board underneath that you could see if you're on either side, right? They do the same thing there. So the scoreboard is exactly the same. The arena looks very similar. You know, a lot of these arenas do. The corridors, the way they were set up, the biggest difference, I would tell you, is At KeyBank Center, they have this huge atrium, obviously, when you walk in, right? You can go left, you can go right, the escalators. When you walk into the SAP Center, it isn't like that. It's literally like this just massive staircase right in front of you that you walk up. Everybody walks up, and then you're right into the corridor area up there. And then as far as the atmosphere, look, it was Joe Thornton's retirement ceremony night. They did that before the game, quite a bit before the game, a couple hours. So they had a good crowd. I don't know if they normally draw that kind of crowd. I talked to a couple of people who said, yeah, they've pretty good support. Actually, and it was the people around us, a lot of Sharks fans around us, and they were really into it. So it was a good atmosphere. When the other team gets a penalty, so you know how like you go to, like if you go to a Bandits game, it's BOX, 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 right? There's something goes on there. When the other team gets a penalty, they did a shark eating sign, kind of like the gator chomp. Think about it like that. And that's what they would do to the guy when the other team got a penalty.
Always a big fan of the gator chomp. That's one of the better simple celebrations in college football. Big fan of that. Sal, though, as mentioned, Sean McDermott going to be speaking here in about an hour. It's been a long time since we've gotten any kind of update to the Bills, of course, with the bye week. But then even to start this week, they've been off. You know, we've been reading some tweets here as well today leading up to the 49ers game. And one of our listeners, Steve, brought up, you know, pending McDermott's press conference, 49ers could be playing like 90% healthy Bills team. It's been a thought, but I think maybe some of us, including myself, have maybe jumped the gun in terms of guys like Matt Milano maybe being back. We don't really know about Keon Coleman. What are you expecting to hear from McDermott today?
Yeah, we'll find out. I think the big question is, you know, Matt Milano and whether or not he'll play this week, but I don't think we'll get clarity on that necessarily. I mean, maybe Sean will tell us that they plan on activating him, but they have until Saturday at 4 p.m. operationally, so everybody understands. Matt is still on injured reserve, but they could activate him by Saturday at 4 p.m. if they're going to play him on Sunday. If they don't, that's okay. They still have till next Wednesday before his 21-day window expires. I think that we're trending that way. It feels like to me that we've been gearing up and building up towards Matt Milano playing on Sunday. Now, maybe the weather factors into that, and they say they don't want to risk it, you know, being at home, being in a wet environment, maybe snowy, a wet field, whatever. I mean, anything like that could obviously come into play. We'll see. But I think we're trending that way. And then the other guys, Dalton Kincaid, I don't know how close he was because he never practiced a couple weeks ago, but doesn't feel like it's something that was super serious. I think Spencer Brown was very close, so I think we're probably going to hear him getting back. And then Keon's interesting. Even if Keon practices this week, I wonder if he's in line to play because, you know, he's missed a few weeks. And typically the Bills, a lot of times, remember what they did with Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson when they both missed 3-4 weeks. They brought him back to practice. They did not play in the game that week. Mm-hmm. They gave him 2 weeks of practice before they actually played. And I just wonder, you know, if that's what we see something with Keon, especially with Amari Cooper playing and healthy, and we know that. Obviously giving his wrist a couple extra weeks helps. And then the other one to keep an eye on, guys, here is defensive tackle Dwayne Carter. He's fulfilled his 4 games on injured reserve. So the Bills, if they choose, could open his 21-day window this week.
Carter, yes, I completely forgot about him. On Cooper as well, though, you brought him up. They kind of did the same thing with him where he was limited for, I think, 2 weeks. I mean, he had the cast on his hand, but he was still practicing, just wasn't playing. And you know, with, I guess, a somewhat similar injury. We don't really know the specifics of their wrist injuries. They could do the same with Coleman. On Carter, though, Sal, glad you brought him up. He was somebody, when he got hurt, though, he was starting to ascend. Like, he was starting to see become a player. I was seeing a lot on social media where a lot of Bills fans were maybe didn't love the Kansas City Bills trade. All of a sudden, we're coming around to it because they're like, now we got Dwayne Carter, and he was playing really, really well. I think he has been somebody the Bills have missed in that interior.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, they've made a couple additions, right, since then. They have Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson, who they signed, and, you know, both have had their moments and played well as well. They still have depth in the practice squad, Ilyanku and Branson Dean, who they like. So, and this is a spot where I think they feel really good about the top to bottom of their roster altogether. Decisions have to be made at some point, though. You also have Dewan Smoot, who's a defensive end, but at some point you hope he comes back. Maybe that's probably at least a few weeks down the road, I think. But I think they feel really good about where their defensive line is right now. And, you know, obviously they've given up some runs, and we know that they're not highly ranked and, you know, run stopping defense. It's not necessarily how they're built or what their philosophy is. It's maybe keep everything in front of you in the pass game and, you know, get some pressure on the quarterback as well up front. But I think that as we go forward here, there's got to be some decisions that have to be made and how they want to formulate the roster. And I do think, though, that Dwayne Carter becomes an important piece for them, and they would like to have him back and be a big part of what they do, you know, as at the end of the season and playoff push here.
looking at a guy like Matt Milano-Sal, he hasn't played a football game, an NFL game, in something like what, like 400 days or something like that? Like, how is he going to be coming back here? Is it going to be like a pitch count sort of thing, or you think it's going to be full go right away? Kind of depends on today, right? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know if it depends on today. I think it depends on how the week goes, but I think it's probably already kind of a... I think, Josh, the way I'd say it is they probably have a plan already in place. You know what I mean? Like, they're probably already thinking, this is what we're going to do, and that plan was probably formulated months ago based on making sure that everything stays on track for him. So I think this week is, does it stay on track, is the question. But what you ask is what we're all wondering. I mean, I wonder, too, what does it look like when he is ready to go? Is that this week? If it is, does he start? Does he play a lot? Does he play 10 snaps, 25 snaps, a full 100% of snaps? I mean, I think there's a lot of questions that have to be answered here, but they're all good questions and good problems to have, so to speak, because Dorian Williams has played well. Now, I've always maintained that when Matt Milano's healthy, he's the starting Will linebacker. Dorian Williams has played well, but he's the backup. That's what he is. He's playing in place of somebody right now. There's no different to me than, you know, when Terrell Bernard went out and Bale and Spector had to play. When Terrell Bernard comes back, he's the starter. The difference here is that Matt Milano hasn't played, obviously, all season. He hasn't played since really most of last season. So you have a guy who's played well, who's had the time. He's in the second year in the system, and you don't. You don't necessarily want to say, okay, you're just never going to play again. I think there's got to be there's a role for Dorian Williams. Does that include three linebacker sets? Do they want to do that? If you do that, though, you're taking Taron Johnson off the field. I just think there's a lot that has to be sifted through. But again, you'd rather have this than be depleted like they were against the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs last year, in scrambling and calling people to come in who were going on vacation and retiring to play.
Speaking of depleted, though, the Bills' opponent for this weekend, the San Francisco 49ers, kind of has been the story all year. They finally got Christian McCaffrey back, Sal. He, though, hasn't looked right up to this point. I think he's averaging about 3.5 yards per carry, but that's mainly due to his second game. He had about 2.5 yards per carry against Green Bay. They're also potentially down Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa, Trent Williams. What have you seen from the 49ers this year, up to this point? They're 5-6. Sal, this isn't the 49ers team from years past.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yeah, so they have a lot of injuries that they're dealing with that we don't know how things are going to turn out this week. And considering how they've kind of treated the injury report and things earlier this year, I don't know if we'll get any clarity on what's happening with San Francisco's roster until probably this weekend. And mainly Brock Purdy, right? You have Brock Purdy, who did not play last week. Now, he was on track. Nobody thought he wasn't going to play against the Green Bay Packers. Guys, I was literally in San Francisco driving, listening to the Odyssey station, the game out in San Francisco, the sports station out there, when the news broke that Brock Purdy wasn't going to play. And they were like, holy cow, they were very surprised. No one knew that was going to happen. And Kyle Shanahan said, well, he had a setback. He wasn't feeling well on Thursday. He showed up on Friday. They said, we just can't play. He can't play. And now you get through the weekend. Then he said, we'll see how it goes Monday. Well, Monday comes and goes, and he did some light throwing on Monday. And they said that he did fine, did some light throwing. So we'll see. But I mean, I don't know. Guys, let's remember, Brock Purdy had a surgically repaired shoulder.
Yes.
Right? I mean, what's happening here is it feels like, and it sounds like, it just has not recovered the way that they thought it would. So now you're dealing with a long-term situation with San Francisco on where that is. This is a guy that's played really well, but now he's coming up after this year. They have to make a decision if they're going to really pay him or not. They don't have to, but third year, after your third year, you can give a contract extension. He's going to want that, just like other players have as well. Look what the money that Tua got and what he, you know, where he fell, even with his injuries. So those are decisions they have to make. As far as Sunday's concerned, I don't know. I think it's very up in the air with Purdy. I think it's probably trending towards maybe Nick Bosa not being available. He has an oblique injury that's said to be maybe possibly multiple weeks. So we're, you know, and he already missed last week. Trent Williams, I think, might be more on the upswing for them, for him to be able to play. So yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questions about what's happening here with the Niners and their injuries going forward.
Sal, sticking with the 49ers offense here, despite Purdy being there or not, what are your feelings on Christian McCaffrey at this point in his career? So far this year, he's only played three games and 149 yards in those three games. Like, what do you feel about him going forward here for the rest of his career?
Well, I still think he's an elite player when he's healthy. The question is obviously the health of him. He's only 28 years old, guys. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a guy that has his super ton of mileage career-wise on his tires. But he has played a lot of football, and he gets the ball a lot, and he has a lot of carries. And if you look back at in his college career, I was looking at it the other day. He had 337 carries 1 year at Stanford. That's incredible.
Yeah. Right?
He led the nation, I believe. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. It was very high up there. He didn't lead them. Then he gets into the NFL, and you know, he's been a workhorse, even going back to his Carolina days. He had close to 300 carries 1 year in Carolina. Last year, 272 carries. So he's played a lot of football. Plus, you talk about the touches he gets overall. 400 touches because of his, you know, catching ability. So I guess the way I would say it is, I still think he's an elite player when he's healthy, but I think at some point you have to wonder like how much he can really continue to go with the injuries and how healthy he will be going forward, considering how much his body has taken on so far. It also feels like, you know, listening and watching, you know, people in San Francisco to cover the team there, they've kind of said that he hasn't quite been himself upon return. Like, it usually takes you a couple weeks. And, you know, Bills fans, of course, hope that doesn't happen this week. It does, that you're like, oh, there's the Christian McCaffrey breakout game we've been waiting for. Obviously, you hope that's not the case. And, you know, obviously Brock Purdy's a lot better, and they're better when they have Purdy and a healthy Christian McCaffrey. They obviously are without Brandon Ayuk. You know, he has injuries. Their receiving core has had, you know, some injury issues this year. Deebo Samuel's had some issues. There's a lot of talk about what's going on there. So I think all of it put together, Christian McCaffrey on a healthy team with a healthy roster and a healthy quarterback is one of the most dynamic players in the league. I don't think he right now, 3 weeks back from this injury, and where they are, can be asked to carry the load for the San Francisco 49ers.
All right, Sal, last thing for today. We do have three games, of course, tomorrow for Thanksgiving. One of them, though, could set up an AFC East clinching victory for the Bills. Dolphins and Packers. I'm kind of there on the sense of the Dolphins might be surging here, but me and Josh were talking about it. In Green Bay, it's going to be typical, you know, Wisconsin winter, you know, around 20, 25 degrees. They've won three in a row, but is this kind of where it all kind of stops and the Bills can clinch their fifth straight on Sunday night?
Yeah, it's a good game. It's a really good game to watch. And I would say right now, I would pick the Packers to win the game for the reasons you guys stated. You know, Miami just doesn't have a great history of going on the road in the cold, but they've played well in some of those games. I mean, they were even in it in the Frost game, you know, in Kansas City for a little while. It wasn't like they played great, but, you know, they were there for a little while. They came up to Buffalo, obviously. They've had a couple really close games in cold weather, including a playoff game. I know, you know, Tua didn't play in that one, you know, specifically. So I do think that, you know, they're playing much better. They're feeling really good about themselves right now. But let's remember the Green Bay Packers are also in a division race here. And I know that, you know, right now the Detroit Lions are kind of, you know, they're sitting there at 10-1, but the Packers are only two games back and they play each other in 2 weeks, by the way. Right? I mean, like, the Packers are trying to keep pace here to still try and win a division. Packers are third in their division. If you look at the NFC and where it falls, the Packers are the sixth seed right now. So this is an important game for them. I think that even though Miami's playing really well, even if Miami wins this game, and then you'd be like, ooh, here come the Dolphins, they still would have to continue this path because they're two games back of a playoff spot right now. They have to kind of be almost perfect the rest of the year. Maybe they can afford one loss. Maybe a game like this, a non-conference loss, is something. But they still have the Jets. Obviously, that's a game they should win. They do go to Houston. They do have the 49ers. We'll see where they are at the time. They go to Cleveland, another cold game. That's another night game, by the way, in Cleveland. And then they have the Jets at the Jets, another cold game at the end of the year. So the margin for error for the Dolphins is very, very slim.
All right, Sal, thanks so much for jumping on with us. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys, you too. Sean McDermott at 12 noon today, and we'll keep everybody updated what's going on at One Bills Drive.
And there you heard it. Sean McDermott at 12 o'clock. Hope to get a lot of information on the Bills. But it is Wash and Fold Wednesday, so before we take our next time out, we've got some trivia today. And with the Bills taking on the San Francisco 49ers, they don't play a ton due to being AFC-NFC. And the last time the 49ers won a game against the Bills, 2012, our trivia question of the day, who was that starting quarterback? First caller at 716-221-4WGR. That's 716-221-4947. With the correct answer, wins a $100 gift card to Top Shelf Wash and Fold Laundromat. Drop off your laundry dirty and pick it up clean and packaged for you. Complete laundry services from a coin laundromat. Top Shelf Laundromat, because we all deserve the best, with three locations, Depew, Williamsville, and Tonawanda. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.